What we need to do is preach the gospel. And if those preachers had been called of God, they would have preached the gospel. And you know what would have happened to the generations? The Bible said, and these preachers, if they had been sent of me, would have turned these people from their sins. The reason they're not turned from their sins is because there wasn't sin of God. Hatched out of seminary and people heaping to themselves teachers, because of the itchy ears and doing their own things and going their own self-righteous way. And the Bible said every man's way is being right in his own eyes, doing his own thing. Until today, it is a mess of a sinful, adulterous generation. And I thank God that some of them are coming to repentance and getting their eyes open, because in this, some are beginning to repent and come to God. Someone would say, well, do you think an adulterer can enter into heaven, Brother Pike, or the whoremonger, the liar, the cheat, the swindler, the backbiter, the gossiper? The Bible said, and these shall not enter into the holy hill of God. He that putteth out his money as to usury shall not enter into the holy hill of God. He that taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, he'll not enter into the kingdom of God. He that will not forgive men their trespasses shall not enter into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so then, we know that charity being the bond of perfection, we think no evil, we say no evil, we do no evil, and we live perfectly upright before God. We do not behave ourselves unseemingly. We do not seek our own, but that of the welfare of another. We do not look upon our own, but as to admiration of our brothers and sisters in Christ, esteeming them to be better than ourselves, and to be as to them a servant, even as Jesus, the example, who told us as he washed the feet, that if I, your Lord and Master, do this, then ye ought to also do this. So we use great plainness of speech, and though the adulterer cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, they are doomed for hell, though they be religious, though they pray, though they give, though they do all these things, though they come to church, they still go to hell. For the Bible says that all of their prayers is abomination in the sight of God. All of their offerings is abomination in the sight of God. Someone would say, well, I would not do that for not anything, Brother Pike. How is it then that the Bible said it is a generation if you're not going to do that? The whole generation, he said. Said it's a sinful. You know where what it is? One will go out like animals and they'll live like animals without wedlock. The others won't do that. They'll go to church, but they lust continual after one another. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And they're continually lusting after one another. One man's wife is lusting after another man. And a man is lusting after another man's wife. Maybe they got a fine companion, but you know that face has done got old. And devils and demons, they never stop. They never stop. It doesn't matter if you have a dozen women, their faces soon get old, you know. And if you have a dozen men, it's the same way. But with God, he beautifies the meek with salvation. And when you got a little wife that's got salvation, he will beautify her. And she will be as mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? It'll be the little girl with the Spirit of God. For God beautifies her as to the meek with salvation. So what can the adulterer do? Repent of his ways. What can the fornicator do? Repent of his ways. Give their heart to God and stop their sinning. Stop their sinning. The Bible said it's not my pleasure or will that the wicked should perish, but that they should repent of their sins and come to God. And he said, you say that my ways are not right and not just, but your ways are right and just. He said, but your ways are the ways that's not right and just, and my ways are the ways that are right and just. He said, for if you do wickedly and you turn and do righteously, all of your wickedness shall not be remembered. In your sins ye shall live. But if you do righteously and turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness shall not be remembered. In your sins ye shall die. So then you can't come to God and say, I'm a Christian, and continue on in your adulterous doings. You can't do that. God will kill you for that, and he'll destroy you for that. He said, you beware, ye that forget God. So you can't forget God till you come to know about God. God is the Word. God is the Word. When you come to know about God and then you turn and forget God, he said, I'll tear you into pieces. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God to do that. He's love. He said, I will tear you into pieces. He said, evil can't come to a city, and I've not sent it, saith the Lord. I work my way in the good and the evil. I have my way in it. I do whatever I will whenever I please. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I rule in the affairs of men. I raise up one and put down another. Kings rule by me. I have my way. You know, you can check the life of Israel, and you'll find that all down through the years, when they did right, God raised them up a great king. When they did not do right, God brought them an evil king. And so it is in the world today. He said that if you'll follow me, if you'll keep my commandments and my statutes, I will not put upon you the afflictions that I brought upon the Egyptians. So then they walked in God's way as to the Israelites, and for 40 years their feet didn't swell. And the Bible said there was not one sick or afflicted among them during the whole 40 years. And God met all of their needs and gave them the desires of their heart because they honored him. With the Gentiles, it isn't like that, because the Bible said salvation is of the Jews, and the Gentiles, as to them, seek after all the things of the world, and so they do. They want the things of the world. So when you come to God, the first thing you do is quit sinning. Right then there. You don't go one step further with your wrongdoings, not one step further. And I say this so often, you that are kind of like a rickrack, you know, and kind of like a swing, you're just in and out, and in and out, and kind of like a seesaw, you're just up and down like that. You don't have anything from God. There's no need of anybody deceiving you, nor the minister deceiving you. You do not have anything from God. There are ministers that will console you, take you right back in, no matter how many times you do that, because they want the money that you've got, and they want you on their payroll, and they'll number you in the church to have a big show. But if you remember the thing that God got upset with David of old about, was because he numbered the tribe of Israel and let his faith stand in the strength of Israel, because he had already backslid on God to that extent. And it upset God. Remember, even Joab would number all of them to keep the wrath from off of the people. And people want to get in that old number system, and they'll finally work it around to the computer thing of 666. So we just keep on praying, keep on believing. Our strength is in Christ. He is the majority. One man, Noah, condemned the world. One great prophet overcome all of the prophets of Jezebel. And one great man, Abraham, became the father of the faithful. And on down and on down and on down. So see, when you got Christ, you are the majority. I said all those things just to say this, that you got to stop sinning, folks. You got to stop sinning. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You can go out and come back and go out and come back, but you haven't got anything. Somebody says, well, give me Bible for that, Brother Pike. That's what we're here for, is to preach the Word of God, is to Bible. That's what we're here for. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. He doesn't get anything in this world nor of God. He's double-minded. He's in and out and up and down. But the Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established in that in the present day truth. So we preach as to the anchor of the soul, the wonderful words of Christ, to anchor the soul and not to be as a ship that's drifting out on the tide all the time. Here at Little Bethlehem, we call this the home of the soul, because indeed it is the home of the soul. And the joy and the jubilance is here, and we pray continually that God will bless you, bless Little Bethlehem, bless your loved ones to reach out. I'm always praying that God not only will bless you as my spiritual children, but he will reach out and he will save your mothers and save your dad, save your brothers and your sisters and your loved ones, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, and my friends and neighbors and enemies. So, as the Lord, to be you therefore perfect, even thy Father in heaven is perfect, who maketh his rain to come upon the just and the unjust. To love your enemies, do good to them, despitefully use you. Pray for them that persecute you, to be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Paul said, this I do, forgetting those things that are behind, Pharisee of Pharisees, a blameless touching the law, a great outstanding one of the tribe of Benjamin, and of the stock of Abraham, that is. But he said, forgetting all these things, I press forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. When you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus? To be therefore perfect. For the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. Do you know of a calling higher than being as your master? To be as the master. He said, I do not say that I have obtained unto that, but this I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I press forward to the prize and the mark of that high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, to be like my master. And my prayer has always been, Father, make me a perfect man in my generation. That's been my prayer, as I told the brethren last night in our little conversation. And my prayer has always been, Father, give me wisdom and understanding that I might indoctrinate and preach to your people and teach them the truth and not lead them into error. Don't never let me have the spirit of error. And my prayer has been, Heavenly Father, let me always be in your perfect will. Never allow me to be in your permissible will. No matter what my desire and ambition of life is as to the things I want, counsel that out and rise above my desire, for I commit my sovereignty unto thee, that if any time I ask in any way that's not your favor, then Lord, don't do that. Just counsel it out and give me what you want me to have. How many times in my life I've took things that, whereas I had a desire to do one thing or had a desire for one thing, I would see something spiritualist concerning another and I would take that way. And I would take that route. We must deny ourselves. So then I prayed this prayer, let me always be in your perfect will. And if I fail to be in your perfect will in that I can't do it or I stumble, at least keep me in your permissible will. But if it be at all possible, and I know all things are possible then that believe, Lord, let me be perfect all the days of my life. So I discovered one day that God had done a great thing for us. And he said, as to Job, he was a perfect man. As to Noah, he was a perfect man. And the Bible said, mark the perfect man among you. And I read where the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And then the Lord revealed to me where he said, and I have sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, and I have perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I have justified them, and I have glorified them. And I have given them eternal life, and I have chosen them out of the world and out of the flesh, and they shall never come into condemnation. Happy is he that condemneth not himself over that thing which he alloweth as to injure his faith in God, because to begin with, he is not in the flesh, and he cannot walk in the flesh, and therefore there's no condemnation to him, because God has chosen him out of the flesh, and the flesh is dead but the body of the Lord Jesus, and buried in a watery grave, and the spirit as to your angelic innermost being being sealed by the Holy Spirit has gone back to God who gave it, and that's why the Bible said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. And so then the devil, with you going up, as I said the other day, he's cast out. And the way that works in this realm of human chemistry is that as to your spirit, Christ, who is the kingdom of God, the fullness of all things, comes into your spirit and becomes interwoven with your spirit. And with that, that means that you are perfect forever. And he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Neither can he sin, because he is born of God. And the sinful flesh as to that body of corruption is dead, and it's gone. It's passed away underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. And it's in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. So then we know that our sins are gone. And I know that people preach around the world, they preach, my sins are gone because I repented of my sins and God forgive me of my sins. And then they preach and then they go around saying, well, I must not sin. And today I'm good and tomorrow I'm bad. And the day after I'll try to get right again. Folks, but there ain't no such days as that. Somebody said, well, I was, and now I'm backslid. There is no such days with a Christian. The Bible said, woe unto the backslider, I'm married unto you, because I've healed your backsliding. You can't backslide. Even though we use the terms of being backslid, I use the terms in the measure that you need to pray a little more, need to fast a little more, you know. The Bible said, as to the backslider, he'll be filled with his own ways. But as to the Christian, he cannot backslide. There is no such thing. He cannot sin. He cannot walk in the flesh. He cannot be under condemnation. It's a once and for all. It's the peace on earth and goodwill toward man. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is, folks. They say, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. So that's why we are filled with joy. That's why we are happy. That's why we rejoice. And when you put forth a little time as to make an effort and you find this joy and jubilance and your cup runs over. Whereas I say this so often, you can make it in, you know, if you don't pray as much as you need to and fast as much as you need to, you know, God still has a way. But you don't be like a chronic case of always having to have somebody to look after you. You want to get your healing, spiritually speaking, and go on with God. The Bible says there are people that all of their works will be burned. All of their works. And they will not bring forth any fruit as to perfection. But it does say they themselves shall be saved. But that is at the fire. Stumbling, staggering, up and down, in and out. And I don't mean that as to out in and out the world. But I mean as to being steadfast in doing something for the Lord. Just, you know, but one fiery trial right after another, one chastisement right after another, one sorrow right after another. You know, you have a son, he grows up, he's your son, and you look at him, you have another son, he grows up, you look at him, and you differentiate us between the two. And one, all his life, you've had to chasten him and correct him and turn him about. He's just a problem child. Then on the other hand, the other son was not a problem child. He was a proper child. And didn't have to speak but just a word or two to him or say something. Didn't have to scream at him and beat him and slap him and knock him around, which the children don't do anyway. But nevertheless, you know, you find out that there's two different ones. One just has an intuition as to a motivation toward that which is right, and the other just has that old cankered-like nature that just wants to be out in the world and do the devilish things of the world. Like some of them says, rock and roll, for that I've sold my soul, and some says, I'm a freak, and they put it all over there. You know, all these things, folks, is the end of the world. It's devils being made manifest. See, these devils are being made manifest in human bodies. And they are in the glitter and the glamour of the spotlight of the world, and they want to eat and eat like a spirit of gluttony, eat till it just, like the man in the Carolinas, eat so much that he finally fell through the floor. The whole floor broke with him. And eat until that devil just gluttons and gluttons and gluttons until finally the heart can't take it, and that's it. Or maybe it's some person that's just exactly in the reverse. They drink and they chew and they suck on a weed, and they're so skinny, as somebody says in the world, they look like a rail. They ain't fit for nothing. As the old saying goes, the wind could just about blow them away. Or you got people that wouldn't dare do those things, but with them, the lust of the eyes. I'm speaking of a little of demonology here. See, as to the lust of the eyes, they just can't cease from lust. The Bible said that they're beguiling unstable souls, and they promise them liberty while they themselves are the servants of sin. As to whomsoever you're brought into bondage, his servants ye are, as to life or death. And these human senses subject us to that, to the powers of Satan, if we don't have the power of resistance as Christ within us. So then some have demons to cause them to lust, as did Eve when she lusted after the tree of knowledge, and sin entered in, and lust and sin and death. Lust came, sin is in the world because of lust. She lusted, and then came death. And that death kills the soul. The sting of death is sin. All right, so then some would never do that. They wouldn't do that. See, some lust, continually lust. Some dress as women in form-fitting clothes, ripped-down clothes, too short, won't cover their body up, fully cover their body up. some men that do cover their body up, and many of them don't. You know, it's a day of shorts and a day of nudeness. He found them naked when he came to the garden. I made the statement years ago. I said, they'll keep on till they'll be naked. And sure enough, they're streaking across the campuses. He found them that way in the end time, which indicates that spiritually they are without the garment of Christ, that they are religious people with all kind of social benefits and everything in the church. But as to the covering, he said, you cover with a covering, but it is not of me. You have a name that you live as to the names of your organizations. But he said, you're dead, and some of you are twice dead and plucked up by the root. And you have a name that you have a church with people or Christians. He said, but it's not so. With your indoctrinations, you have driven out everything decent and good, calling them an old fogey or whatever, and now you're just a cage of every unclean and hateful bird as to devils and demons. So see, all these things are happening in the world today. There are all kind of spirits, from gossiping to backbiting to greediness to haughtiness to temper to all these kind of things. And folks, that's why the Bible calls it a sinful generation. Somebody said, well, I think he was talking about them, that old bunch of youth out yonder, you know, that's just living like dogs. But what did he say about that group of youth that's out there? He said, the children, their teeth are on edges because the parents have eaten sour grapes. So then it's the parents that have done it. Then are the children justified? Absolutely not. He said he'd burn them with fire. But the thing is, the parents are to blame. So we need to get back to old time holiness. God is the spirit of holiness. Paul said he is the eternal king. He is the immortal king. He is the invisible king. This God whom I serve with my spirit. And he's great and he's mighty, and all glory and praise and honor and majesty be unto him who liveth and reigneth forever and forever and forever. And John said, I heard everything in heaven and everything in earth and everything under the earth saying, glory and praise and honor and majesty and wisdom be to the great immortal king that reigns and lives forever and forever. So I'm just exhorting you a little bit. The Bible said, the more you see the day approaching, I see that's nigh even at the door. He's knocking on your heart's door. If you'll open, he'll come in and sup with you. And I'm trying to bring what I can bring as to my little efforts in the gospel, that you might know that the days of the Gentiles are at an end, and that you need to program and reprogram your mind to the great, wonderful things of God. For now it's made known unto the church since Calvary, the manifold wisdom of God, even to this wonderful treasure that's in heavenly places. You have it in earthen vessels, even as this great knowledge of God that's able to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears and make the lame to walk, that's able to transform your minds into the mind of Almighty God's mind, as to the great mind that spoke the jewels and the diamonds and the rubies, all these wonderful things into existence that made humanity and the stars and the species of the sea, the beautiful fruited plains. See, this mind now belongs to you, and you belong to it, and your body now is not as it was in your first birth, as to the bastard child image, but you are now born again, and that image is dead, and you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and should be about your Father's business and stay away from those things as to the mire, to the vomit, as to the contamination. For God looks out at the religious world, and not as his children. Not at his children, but he looks out at the religious world and he said, all of my tables are full of vomit. All of it's full of vomit. Lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were out in the world, cold and doing your thing in the world, so that the blood could stay on the seat of atonement and grace could prevail for you until you come to the knowledge. But now that you know it's required of you and you don't do, then I'll spew you out of my mouth. For I'm angry with you every day. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And when you come to the knowledge of God, you fell into the hands of a living God. The Bible said, when you come to this knowledge and you turn away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversary. So the rain that cometh oft upon the herbs of the field, the Bible says, as to that that is briars to the yielding of the harvest, then cometh the briar, and it is cut down and cast into the fire. So then, though we are watered by the same grace as to the blood on the seat of atonement, yet they out there, as to their religious attire, then they are an abomination in the sight of God. Their prayers are abomination in the sight of God. All that they give in their offerings as to their great strides of religious activity are abomination in the sight of God. When they come together and they praise God, it's abomination in the sight of God. Let the upright praise God, for praise is comely for the upright. And he that beareth the vessel of God, let him depart from iniquity. So it's very obvious that God is angry with this generation. It is a sinful generation, whereas you might not live like the youth, but many of you are still guilty of the other things, as gullible desire of the tangible matter of life. You hoard it, you lay it aside, you pack it up like a pack rat. Whereas the Bible emphatically states that we're saved by faith, and faith by the word is to doing, is to prove that we believe. And he said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. That you don't have a reason to pack it up while little ones are starving to death, and while missionaries are dying on the field over there, don't have enough to eat. You don't have any room to pack it up, whether it's in houses or land, or whether it's in the bank, or whether it's in putting your child through college, or whatever it might be, as Brother Taylor said, for a rainy day. You'll pile it up and God will give you a rainy day, and he'll give you a day in the hospital if you're laying it back for that. See, we spend all of our substance as to buy insurance to take care of us, to buy everything to take care of us. Whereas Jesus said to seek the kingdom, all these things will be added as to your health, as to your substance, and that he'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll lengthen your life. He'll beautify your being with salvation. Life beautifies the outer being. Take a person that's just filled with life, just filled with life. You know, some of these weightlifters, they pump weights. They're not filled with life. Some of them's got ulcers of the belly. They've got cancer. Some of them just dies overnight like that. But somebody that's got real jubilant life, as I've said so many times, like Enoch, like Methuselah, that never jogged, that never lifted weights, 300 years, 900 years, Noah, 900 years, these kind of things. You know, you've got real life. You're filled up and overflowing. Your color's beautiful. Everything's just fine. Your hair is full of like a sheen. You know, it's just radiant. Someday as to the millennium, it's going to be that out there in the millennium, the animals, the fur, the hides, it's going to be so rich with life. If the sun just touch them, it'll be like a pearl. It'll just glisten, you know, and radiance. And you'll be young and strong and healthy and youthful. And this life we already have. See, this life we already have. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, why then don't we just make it manifest in this life? Well, you can. By faith, you can, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Somebody said, well, I'm talking about just make it where we won't never die, won't never lose our youth. Well, that's what we're trying to do. And the time shall come in that you've already passed from death unto life in your spirit. The time will come when your body will be the same way. It's already been purchased. It's already been redeemed. And you're getting the knowledge now that is to transformate into this wonderful thing, translated in the spirit into the kingdom of God, the spirit of Christ, transformated over a period of time by your mind into the wonderful knowledge of God. Then the centermost life that's give you eternal life inwardly is made manifest in your mortal genes. It's pronounced healing in a little touch here, a little sip of it here. But after a while, all at one time, and that body will be changed into the immortal youth and strength to never die. You don't have to go by the way of the grave to do that. I tell people so many times, the writer there in the Old Testament said, and in the grave, I cannot praise thee, for the dead know not anything. So then we are alive, and God hath no pleasure in death, and death is not part of his plan. Death came by man. Sin came by man. And God is trying to get rid of death. And how does he do it? By getting rid of sin. See, but I said that to say this. There isn't going to be any end to poverty until spiritual poverty is no more, as in heaven, so in earth. And there isn't going to be any end to sickness, natural sickness, until spiritual sickness is eradicated, as in heaven, so in the earth. And there has to be a complete eradication as to the spirit, When you get the germ out of the blood, the body will be healthy and whole, and the spirit won't be suppressed. But otherwise, it'll soon depart from the body because of the suppression, and life and radiance and jubilance will be gone. Humanity, folks, as much as you don't like to think this, they're dying. They're dying. Years ago, the man on the farm and the woman on the farm and the little child, they wasn't like that. They were jubilant, skipping along, singing. And they had the biggest kind of time. They were healthy and whole. Their foods were delightful and good. And they didn't have all the problems of the body because they didn't know much and God didn't require much of them. And they were just peaceful. And they didn't lay house to house. The Bible said as to these apartments and houses bumping up together, woe unto them that lay house to house, land to land. Because it isn't long before your neighbor's got your wife and your wife is, you know, and they're gone. See, but they had their own little farm. They had their own little kingdom. It was out away from everybody. And Grandpa's shotgun was the power of rights. And you didn't mess around. They that really had God back there, they didn't trust in the shotgun. They trusted in God. They just used the old shotgun to help make the living because they had to have a little bite to eat. And hunting was part of it. They wasn't as this bunch of renegades today that hunts for sports, that kills as to mass murder of killing and destroying. And the Lord said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth, whether they destroy my animals or whether by science knowledge, falsely so called, they destroy the heavens or the ozones, or whether they destroy as morals and decency by their corrupt acts. I will destroy them, Jesus said. So I hope you don't mind me just talking with you this morning. Sometimes I do this. I haven't done this in quite a long while. Used to, I did it more often. This is the way it is, folks. And if you want to live and not die, don't look for the hospital. Don't look for the doctor. That's fine to have the medical end of it. That's fine to do what you can. That's fine. But I tell you again, all of the goodness comes from God. The corruption and the filth and the infiltration of turning our world into whoremongers and prostitutes as through the medical profession of stripping them down like a common prostitute and let them walk all over the hospital and men and women play around with each other like a bunch of dogs is not of God. That is the devil. That's the carnal mind. That's the intellectual philosophy of the world. They never did that years ago. They never did that. Even as to the children coming into the world, they never did that. Everything was decent and upright. As even as in Jacob's time when the handmaidens went, and those handmaidens went along. When you married a woman, she had a handmaid for the delivery of the children. See, we had decency, we had health, we had happiness. The Bible said when the ladies brought forth, they were very quickly to bring forth, not a heavy travail as the sorrow and whatever. Today they give them a shot, you know, a twilight shot. But the thing is, they didn't need it. They were healthy. And the children were healthy and well. And they didn't have a bunch of buzzards flying around saying, and this will be $90, and this will be $500, and this will be $2,000, and you wasn't sitting around weeping and moping and saying, my God, just to have a little child come into my family, here it's costing me my whole life. I'll be working for the rest of my life. And some of them just said, well, bless God, I ain't going to pay it. They can do the best they can. You know, but either way is wrong. See, it didn't cost you nothing to have your little family back there. What does it cost the birds to have their little family and to hatch them all? What does it cost the rabbits and it costs the dogs and it costs the animals? And how many physicians do they have to have? See, how much medicine do they have and how much security insurance as to medical protection do they have? And how much do they work as to their days every week and how much salary do they have? And what does God require of them as to sacrifice? Folks, how ignorant can we be? 40 years and 3 million people wandering around, never their feet swelled, never a hospital, never a college. And the Bible said all of them was of a good understanding. And the Bible said even today, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they that delight themselves in me, I will give them the desires of their heart. I will make them of a good understanding. And the Bible says, my blessing will make them rich and add no sorrow. And in the wilderness, they built a commonwealth. And today, the devils have got your wealth. And you're dying, gradually dying. Sick. Everybody's sick. Hospitals filled up. Can't save them. The insane asylums are filled up. they can't rehabilitate them. And more wars, conglomerations, confusion, all of the things as to the elements in turbulence, the roaring of the seas, planes crashing, everything I will send upon you, the Lord said, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, I will send upon you cursing, vexations, and you'll be so vexed you can't hardly live. Solomon said, all is vanity, all is vexation of my spirit. To get rich, to get more, is to get more vexed. To have more things of the world, more responsibility, to be more vexed, to have the IRS after you and have every leech and devil after you trying to get it. And you got to buy a tag and you got to have license and you got to have insurance and you got to have this and you got to have that. And the more you make, the heavier the weight gets. God allows that so that you'll turn away from that. Somebody, I've seen him over in Israel. I saw a man standing there and weep. Our guide, he wept and said, we can't stand much more. Instead of taking everything we've got and whatever. Wasn't long after that, I saw him just, his eyes just kind of almost dancing about in the bank with his money in the bank. See, what it is, you've gone as the Gentiles after the things of the world, and it's displeasing to God, and all the glory goes to the philosophers and to the president and to education and all the praise as to your job and your abilities and your talents and your skills. And like Nebuchadnezzar, the leaders are walking around saying, look at these great, mighty things, our beautiful America. Look at what we have done, and the handwriting's on the wall as to meanie, meanie, tickle, tickle, you farzen, that weighed in the balances and found one. And God is fixing to drive you out with the rest of the beast. That's why their hair is growing out. When old Nebuchadnezzar was driven out, his hair grew out like feathers and his fingernails like claws. And watch these men with their hair growing out like feathers. And some of these women I've seen, their fingernails, I don't think I'm exaggerating, I think I'm a little under that long. I've looked at them and I said, dear God, am I seeing that thing right? You know, because some of them let them grow out good and long so they can protect themselves because they know they're going to be among the beast. They've got it all planned. But nevertheless, I'm just telling you folks that the world is at an end. Manhood is at an end. Womanhood is at an end. Childhood is at an end. Decency is at an end. There's nothing anymore. The world, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world, for all is of the world. All that's of the world. The skating and the jogging. And all that is of the world, the races and your television, non-virtuous things, all that's of the world. Everything, your radio with your rock and roll, all of this is of the world. You're of the world and you'll perish with the world. But he that is born again, the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but he'll not pass away. Because it is the word made flesh is the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And the Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. So I've said this a number of times before, and I say it by way of exhortation this morning. It's the same. Everybody is after everything, except them that go after God is to be born again. And they are the ones that have everything. And the firstborn has lost the birthright. And weeping and mourning in religious attire won't do anything for them but make them vomit on the table. But the child of God has already got the birthright as to the second birth, as to being born again and gone with it. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And all the world shall crumble, and the saints of God shall rise and take over the government, take over the kingdoms of this world. And they, along with Christ, shall reign forever and ever. And righteousness shall fill the earth, for the Bible said a king shall reign in righteousness. For he said, Son, because thou hast loved righteousness, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And as to the heavens and the earth which you have made, you will fold them up and lay them away, and they shall wax old. But as for thee, Son, thy scepter is a scepter of righteousness, and you shall reign and abide forever and ever. And as to the increase of thy kingdom, there shall be no end. As to the king eternal, the king immortal, and the king invisible. To love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength is just as to a living sacrifice, a reasonable service for what he's done for us. All right, so then you can do whatever you want to, but God is speaking to you. For the Bible said, not be the man speaking, but God speaking from within him. God's within his temple. Let all the world keep silent. I'll make them to come and kneel at your feet. Know that I've loved you, for ye are the temples of the Lord God, members in particular of that body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Having the mind of Christ, you know all things, in that you have the unction from the Holy One. And the Bible said the government shall be upon your shoulders, in that you're going to control all things. So then it has come unto you to let you know that this wonderful thing of escaping death and escaping sin, escaping sickness, escaping the plagues, escaping this curse of madness and all these other things, it is your benefit. But as to faith in what the Master says, judgment beginning at the house of the Lord. As to the minister, whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Simply believing in Calvary, they overcame Satan, he that was stronger than they, by the blood of the Lamb as to the works of Calvary, and by their testimony as testifying to the works of Calvary. Not by works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Let's stand together. I know someone would say, well, I want to hear the Bible. You've been hearing it ever since I got up here. Amen. The Bible said we're an epistle, it's known and read of all men. I usually read the Bible. This morning, we're just going to worship the Lord a little bit. I appreciate you. I thank the Lord for you. We're not scolding you. I'm just using great plainness of speech for your benefit that you might know. You can have the world. You can go after the world. You can have anything in the world. But I tell you once again, all that is of the world, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's the automobile, whether it's the car, whether it's the job, whether it's the position in life, whether it is your human body, whether it is your mind, whether it is your daughter, your son, your mother, your daddy, all that is of the world is abomination in the sight of God. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. All your eyes are abomination to God. Your ears are abomination to God. Your movements are abomination to God. All is a total loss. And God has condemned it at Calvary. He has killed that old body of the beast that he hates. He has destroyed those eyes of lust and done away with those ears that hear the vain jangling. And he hath given you eyes to see as to eyes of understanding, and given you ears to hear as to what the Spirit saith to the church. He hath given you a body as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that you be no longer a bastard child. He hath created another world for you and another atmosphere for you, and given you a new spirit. As he said, my servant Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. He hath given you a new spirit. Renew within me, the writer said, a new spirit, a right spirit. And he has sanctified as to whatever you, pardon me, will let him add unto you. If it's an automobile, he has sanctified it. If it is an offering, he has sanctified it. If it is a job, he has sanctified it. If it is money, he has sanctified it. Whatever it is that he hath given unto you, he hath sanctified it. He hath added all these things unto you, even to make you rich, to give you power to get wealth. All these things, he has sanctified it. As to your human relationship, as to companionship, and as to your family, he has sanctified it. But the whoremonger and the adulterer, God will judge. So then all these things are sanctified. Unto the righteous, all things are pure. But unto the defiled and unbelieving that's never been born again, is there nothing pure. Even their conscience is defiled. Everything around them is an abomination in the sight of God. So if you want to stay in the mire with the swine, if you want to lap, vomit with the dogs, that is without the gates are idolaters and whoremongers and liars, and they that love and make a lie. But precious, blessed children of God, if children, then heirs and partakers of the wonderful benefits as to those things of God. You're not outside of the gates. Jesus said, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the door to the sheepfold. And they that go in and out by me shall go and graze in the green pastures. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. For I'm the door. And if any man climb up any other way as to a religious thing in this day of the outpouring of the Spirit, which is upon all flesh, they will be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. because you cannot religiously, charismatically slip in or just convert over from your business life or your way of life and just slip in and make changes and just slip in and become a Christian. You can't do that. You've got to go by the door, which is the way of Calvary, and die. No man can see God unless he dies. And then when you die, as to being delivered for the offenses, you can be raised again as to the body of Christ for the justification. And on this side, being justified, therefore, by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, who died for you. To reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to the body of the Lord Jesus, as to repentance and dead to the things of the world and to the feeling of the world, as to your human senses, as to the way you relate to the world, and being baptized in water in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to lose your identity, that you might be buried with him in baptism. Paul said, having put on Christ, to be resurrected in the newness of life with him, and in that you do this, then you are alive forevermore. Then you are alive forevermore. See, don't look at me and scrutinize me. Scrutinize you. Don't look at your neighbor and scrutinize him. Esteem him better than yourself. You're the one that's in need. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. And when you look at someone else and scrutinize someone else and you judge someone else, then you judge your own self. You either commit fornication, you sin against your own body. The Bible said every sin is without the body except the sin of fornication. But when you sin the sin of fornication, that's man and woman, you're sinning against your own body. For the Bible says that the woman was taken from the man, and she's flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. How foolish people are, the Bible said, having not a love for the truth, God has given them over to a reprobate mind that they should dishonor their bodies between one another, man with man working that which is unseemly, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. For this God burns Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's sing a little chorus together. I love you. I try to tell you the truth as best I know how to tell you. Let's sing I love it. I love him. I love him. The Bible said, and for these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And the Bible says, every son that cometh to God, he chasteneth him first. If ye are without correction as to chastisement, then are ye bastards, for we all his sons are partakers. He that loveth his son chasteneth him often. But the Bible said, a child left to himself shall bring shame. So the world has left shame. So, the Bible says that having seen what others did as to their wrong, and the wrath of God coming upon them, said, then ye turn and do the very same things. And Jesus was so upset, he said, how then can you escape the damnation of hell, knowing these things? For all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I made the statement, America has been the undefeated and will remain the undefeated as long as the church is here. It will remain the undefeated because it's beautiful America, it's gracious America. Not because of the old bewitching ones, but the darling children of God of whom God has respect. See, and he'll always keep her as beautiful America, the land of fruited plains. How beautiful America, how beautiful. See, the saying is, you know, love America. You don't love America, it would be reasonable to leave America. Traveling all over the world, I find America is one of the most lovely places in the world. Yet it's one of the most corrupt in the world. But why not love America the way that God loved America? And God who made America, and God who loves the world and loves Germany and loves Russia. My, they're so beautiful. I've been through them too. And all those things, people so blinded by their greed and lust as to prey upon others and go in upon others' labor, that they never look around them to see what they've got and what they can do with their potentials. Lust. See, but the Bible said God so loved the world, that is why it was the garden with all of its virtues, without sin, with life, with all the happiness and radiance, when he himself could walk in it. He so loved it in that kind of condition as to what he made it, that he gave his only son to redeem it and to die, to bring it back to the garden condition as to the millennium and to change it into the celestial world. He so loved it that he gave his son to do that. See, and why not so love America that we would give our lives? The Bible said in giving ourselves a living sacrifice, a dead sacrifice is no good. It just rottens and it stinks. Some are dead, twice dead and plucked up by the root, which means they don't have a chance to get saved. For they that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. But why not love it like Jesus did and give our all to redeem America, our native land, as we say. We say pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We talk about the republic for which it stands, with liberty and justice for all. That's not true. Even though I thank God for America, and I thank God for the forefathers, and I thank God that by the leadership of God, they did put up a flag as a memorial that Betsy Ross made, as to symbolize the stars of Revelation 12 over the head of Jesus as the child, and as to the stripes that was placed upon his back, not knowing what she did. But the thing is, even though we had, as to Washington, a symbol of truth, as to God establishing our country, folks, there's no liberty, there's no justice for all. The IRS is like a bunch of rogues on our back. Everybody eating us up, the sovereignty of any little county, they do what they want to. They act like they want to. You are slaves to tribute. You're just children of God that's down in the bondage of Egypt, and God's about to bring your deliverance because the time of the cup of the iniquity of the Gentiles is about filled up. He's tired of it. He said, who is this that eat my people like bread? Every man I fed you to the full, and you neigh after your neighbor's wife like a horse when I visit you for these things, saith the Lord. When I said each man could have his own wife to avoid fornication. Greedy dogs that never get enough. So, let's love America. And as to the forefathers, as to the real Declaration of Independence, before they ever put in all the addendums as to the ugliness, the perversion, and the crooked and perverse generation that's twisted it around to take our liberties. See, let's bring it back to the forefathers. Let's not follow after the corruption. I've said this before. It is stated in the wonderful Declaration of Independence as to our nation. Our forefathers foresaw that someday this crooked, wicked people in a rat race would do these things. And so they inserted a little clause, and it says, as to a sovereignty of the nations and of to the people, it says, and if at any time these things are violated and perverted as to this declaration, it is the duty of the people, as you, as the people of the United States, to dissolve this and bring about a new order. And folks, that's what we're doing. We're dissolving it, and we're bringing about a new order. Our king is standing at the door, and we're going to bring back that real wonderful liberty and justice for all, and bring back a real America and the rest of the world as we all blend together in one great union of God, in one great society of Christ, bringing them again. They'll see eye to eye, and they won't break ranks, and they won't pierce each other through. And it won't be as to a government by the people and for the people. It won't be that of the people, for the people, and by the people. It'll be a government of God and by God and for God, with liberty and justice for all. For the Bible says all things were made by him and for him, and without him there was not anything made. It all was made for him. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, somebody say hallelujah. All right, can we sing a little chorus together? We love you. We appreciate you so very much. We thank God for you. Appreciate you coming. I thought I saw Abraham Jameson over there. I guess he must have slipped out. But anyway, there's one of them that was over there. John's got a number of children sometime with them growing their beards and changing the bite, you know, and this generation is kind of hard to keep up with them. Like women, I've said so many times, they got so many hairdos and fashions till I said, well, glad to have this lady here. We never had her here before. And then they just grin, you know, and I suddenly realize that they're one of my regular comers. All right, let's sing together, can we? Sweep over my soul,
over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. You know, you could go after the things of the world. You are a sovereignty. And if you go after the things of the world, if you love the things of the world, if you want the things of the world, the Bible said all of that is as if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. That means that you have the lust of the flesh, as to the desire, the things of the flesh, where the Bible said abstain from fleshly desire, as to fleshly lust that warreth against the spirit world and the spiritual things. In the early church, they sold their houses, they sold their land, they sold all they had. They laid it down at the feet of the apostles. Paul said they took to the spoiling of their goods, knowing that in the world to come, they have a more better substance. To seek to save your life as in this world is to lose it, as to go to the flesh. And to seek to lose your life as to give it to Christ is to save it unto eternal life and eternal power and wealth. I think it's a good trade myself to trade everything for Him and everything that He wants to give us. And you're not of this world. So then why seek the things of the world? As to the world, as to the earth, not the world, which is a system, but as to the world, as to the creation of God, all things are yours. He that liveth the longest will own all things. I say this so often. As to one generation comes, it goes, it dies, but the earth abideth forever. See, that generation dies, and then who owns all the wealth of the kings and the queens and the billionaires and the philosophers and the educators and the professional men? Who owns all the wealth after that generation dies? They don't own it anymore. The next generation owns it. But folks, we're not going to die. We outlive all the generations. We'll fold them up and lay them away like an old garment. But the earth is ours forever and ever. The heavens is ours forever and ever. And the Bible said, and ye shall reign and rule forever and forever and forever. And like the little story said, and they lived happily ever after, forever and forever. So then is the true fact that God is with us, God is for us. But if you go after the world and the thrills of the human senses as to satisfy that little silly passion of yours, and you can't control it, when God has already satisfied it in every way that can be satisfied. He hasn't taken anything from you, but in that you'll let a devil come and give you a stimulation or an activation as to your lust and desire and your thoughts, as to gullible desire, never being satisfied, as to overcharge you, saying stolen waters are sweet, as she said, not knowing that her guests are in the chambers of hell. And the man that's ignorant, or the woman that's ignorant and learned, the Bible said they will go after it until the dart strikes through the liver. But a wise man, a wise woman, you can warn them in the Bible, so they'll grow wiser. But the fool, you can tell him, and the Bible said he'll go until the dart strikes through the liver. While he's here, you'll get yourself a blot. He'll come against you. He'll find fault with you.
like it was here the other night.
Find fault and they'll do everything they can to devastate. But children of God, the Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. You can say, and God said, and the child will say as to that wisdom, amen, I justify that sin. All right, can we sing another verse or two before we dismiss you, and then we'll let you go your way.
I love you, you're my children in the Lord, and not all of you are clean, as Jesus said, is to be my children in the Lord.
But who is clean? David said, let him take heed to the word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. And so then, because I have spoke this word and you have believed it, then are you clean? To give of that which you have, to share with your strength and your substance, and behold, all things are clean unto you. And you're not under the curse, for he said, I've delivered you from the curse, for cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and Jesus hang upon a tree, taking away the curse of sickness, of poverty, of death, of sorrow, of heartaches, and today you are alive forevermore to rejoice and love your Creator as his precious children, waiting patiently until the change to console the brethren by the consolation of these sayings we're told to do. So then in this, you are precious children that are eternally alive forever. The intellectual philosophy of religion out yonder shall perish. That is will worship, but ye are not as to that. Ye are children that have, as the Bible said, an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. And you do not will yourself to do anything. It is a love and a desire as to an unction from God. So ye have eternal life. And this is eternal life, that you believe on him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Or this is life, that life as to Jesus Christ, his Son, liveth within you. And if you have not the Son, you have not life. But he that hath the Son is to the Spirit of Christ living within you. He hath life. And the Bible said, if you have not his Spirit in that there's one Spirit, you're none of his. All right, let's sing together. Seek that Spirit above all things. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, at the cross,
at the cross.
You know, yesterday we were talking to some of the brethren and bringing out some present day truth. And my little Adam came down there. I see Adam coming up, dropping the offering in the basket. And my little Adam come up, and while we was talking, he got up on my lap. And I was telling the brethren, I said, if you was as innocent as this little child, the Bible said, lest you become as a little child, that is to say, be born again, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But I said, if you was as innocent as little Adam, I said, it would be wonderful. Little Adam plays a great part as to a revelational thing that some of you are not acquainted with. But nevertheless, everybody is important in the sight of God. You know, it's like I told him yesterday, we're nearing the crossing and things is happening. I wish that we were spiritual. And Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. And I wish we had time to stay with the Lord. Like a man told me over to car lot yesterday, we rode off to get a little bite to eat and stopped at this car lot. David Paul wanted to stop there. And this black man came out. He was real exuberant trying to sell us a car. And he'd come down from Chicago, I believe, in this area. He took some of our literature and some of the others took some of our literature. And some of them connected with Kenneth Hagin, this boy that owned the place there. He sold Kenny some cars. But anyway, while I was talking, he said, you know, said the way we worship God, he said, we start along in the morning, I don't know where, it's about 8 o'clock or something like that, and he said, and at 10 o'clock at night we quit. He said, that's the way we go to church. And I thought that was pretty good. When you said that's pretty good, I thought that was all right. See, and that's what you're supposed to do. In the olden days, they would put the children in the buggy or in the wagon, and they would prepare their dinner when they fixed breakfast.
get up real early. And not the modern convenience, but they still fixed a good, solid dinner. And they took that with them. And when they got to the church, they had their morning service. And then the men went out in the woods this way, and the ladies went out in the woods this way. And they prayed until night. And then they come back in their services. They come back there, eat their supper or dinner, whatever it was, you know. Like they'd eat breakfast over here this morning, then they'd eat dinner when they get out of the church, go pray. And then they come back, they have a service, then they go home for their supper. See, and they give all day long. They called it the Lord's Day, especially on Sunday. Lay aside everything, you know, like Paul said, when I come, have no gathering, quit it all, stop it, let's have revival. You know, you can gather your crops at another time, he said. All right, then other times he said, gather all this before I get there so you'll have to give to the poor. And there'll be no gathering when I come. But I thought about that, you know. We wondered why they had miracles and why they had healings and why God was with them. In the early church, they broke bread from house to house with singleness of heart. No one said anything was his. They were all together, all as Pentecost, in one mind and one accord to do the will of the Father, to have the mind of Christ. And their only desire was, my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. They had no time for the things of the world. I say this so often, women don't need to paint their face and pretty it up and twist their hair and curl it around and all these kind of things. They don't need to do that. Someone would say, well, you will have to remember, Brother Pike, I'm trying to hold my husband. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of hair twisting ladies has lost them, and some stringy haired girls have got them. I've seen men that were supposed to be the handsome thing that really thought they were God's gift to women. And I've seen women frown on them and spit in their face, as we say, and walk off and leave them and get a man that was so rugged, you take a look at him, you think, well, what did she see in him? But you know what she saw? She saw character. She saw security. She saw a real man. You know what she saw in that other? She saw as a doll in a window that when the weather gets bad, the paint will come off. And the man saw the same thing in his wife. When he got the paint off, he found out she was like a wild cat and didn't have no character, cursing and snorting and wanting to party and do the things of the world and wouldn't dress decent, and she wasn't his wife, she was everybody's girlfriend. You know, and when he gives her a car, she rides around to her boyfriend. When he gives her money, she goes through the vein jingling from store to store, buying and packing up like a pack rat and painting her face like a Jezebel with an old devil of lust. Somebody say hallelujah. We're talking about the street called straight. The Bible said, Paul, go down to the street called straight. If you're having some problems, just go down to the street called straight. And they'll tell you what to do. All right, so we're not going to get into preaching this morning. I'm just kind of exhorting you a little. But folks, you know, a young girl will say, well, Brother Pike, I've got to pretty up because I'm looking for my beau. I want my boyfriend. Well, maybe you do have to. I don't know. Maybe you won't get a boyfriend unless you do. The Bible said in that day there'll be seven women after every man trying to get his name to take away their reproach because they've tried to be everything, you know, and the pretty girls, the men don't want them. They're looking for a wife, you know, real men. And the ones that get the pretty girls is devils and demons. They are whoremongers, and they're looking for prostitutes to begin with. So you perch out on the side, you know, to get out there with the gang, and you prowl all night long like a bunch of dogs. But anyway, the Bible says, and that's what I have to go by. Everything else is shaky, faith by the hearing of the word, and everything else to me is shaky. And the Bible said for you young ladies and you young men to seek ye the kingdom of God first. It said if you are a man or a woman and you be called to God, not having a companion, don't go looking for a companion. And Paul said it's better that you can bide his eye anyway, having no necessity, just remain his eye, because you're just going to have problems if you marry. Trouble in the flesh for the married careth of how they can please the wife or the husband. But he that the unmarried careth things how he pleaseth God. And it remaineth that very shortly to be as though you had no husband or wife. Because all that's going to be passed in heaven. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. They all are as spirits or the angels. But nevertheless, I said that to say this. And the Bible said not to seek a companion, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all of these other things will be added unto you. He will add your wife unto you. He will add your husband unto you. He will add the blessings unto you. He will give you the right kind. But if you go picking on your own, you're going to get the wrong thing. You know, if you go to buy a car, you need to take an expert with you. Let him pick it out. You know, because some of us, we don't know that much about mechanics. And if it's polished and it looks good, we say that's what we want. The lust of the eyes. So folks, we need to look around a little bit, and we need to get in the Word and put our believing in the Word. And after a while, you'll find something that's real good. Don't go marrying outside. Find a Christian. I don't mean a polished hypocrite. Somebody's a reflector, but find you a Christian. Find you a Christian boy. Find you a Christian girl. For the Bible said marriage is honorable in all. See, and you don't sin if you marry. You get a companion. That's good, the Bible said. But the thing is, get you a child of God. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. The temples of God have no fellowship with the temples of Belial. God will not unequally yoke you together because you are unequal. One is a child of darkness and of the devil, and one is a child of light. Seek ye a Christian. And when you get one, ladies, honor your husband in all things. And husbands, when you get a girl, remember that is a child of God, a daughter of the Lord. As she reverenced you as a son of God, you reverence her as a daughter of the Lord, to love her as Christ loved the church. For the Bible said, deal not treacherously against the wife of thy youth, for God hateth putting away. No man has ever abused his own body, but he loveth his body. She's your flesh. He nourishes, he cherishes his own flesh. So do ye also unto the wife. See, so seek the kingdom of God, and then God will give you a companion, for you're free to be married only in the Lord. All right, can we sing another chorus too as we go to close here now? I didn't mean to keep you so long. I'm just saying these things because you're my household, and this is the way I talk to my natural daughters, my natural sons. Sing this. Give me another card. There's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it? Oh, there's room. You see these little ones standing around here, my little boys and girls. A lot of times they come up here. This is a new crop. My, I wish we could speak in Revelation. But it's a new crop. From the time that they're little, they're learning the truth. And they're growing up to make an end of sin. That there won't be nothing in between by the time they get your age. And then God can wipe everything else off of his table as to the vomit. Everything. See, and he is bringing knowledge to where the Bible said the heavens declare his handiwork. And the earth is full of the knowledge of God. And it really is. If you get in the spirit of revelation, everything will revelate to you. And you'll see, as it was said in that day, how the heavens declared his handiwork. In the days of Enoch, when he was educated into things of God enough that he was translated that he should not see death. See, and God is making people wiser and wiser. And the little children are learning more and more. Because between the aged and the youth, there cannot be a gap when the end of the world comes as to immaturity and lack of development. So as to one must touch the other, as to the age, the youth, and as the Bible said, and he that ploweth the sowman, he shall sow until he overtakes the plowman. See, and after a while, it'll all come together. The 483 is two, the Gentiles, the Jews, and the seven. And with that, the doors closed to the Gentile church. And then, everybody learning and learning and learning and learning and being exposed to things that children used to, you would not dare expose them to. Now, all the way down, there's no gap anymore. From that age of the bar mitzvah, to be about the Father's business, to be the example. And everything in between has already had opportunity to seek God. For to know to do good and do it not, it is a sin.
To him that knoweth not to do good, it is not a sin. And being cold, the blood prevails, the grace. Being hot, the Spirit of God is with you as to a burning fervency toward God. To be zealous toward Christ. To be in between means the world has heard the gospel to every creature it's gone. And then they're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Stand at the door, won't come in, hindering the others. Pharisees, scribes, having the law, none of you keep it. Hypocrites, Jesus said, whited sepulchres that appear beautifully, religiously beautiful, but full of dead men's bones, and unawares the children stumble and stagger and fall into that pit. So it is. And as they said to Jesus, but we didn't kill the prophets. He said, but ye are the children of them that did, and you are the one that garnish the tomb. All right, unawares, men fall into these things. You, as a mind of corruption, you are a sepulchre. You are dead while you live. Inwardly, as to the spirit, it is dead as to plucked up by the roots. Outwardly, you are a grave, as to do not appear. In that living in trespasses and sin, you are dead while you live. The Gentiles seeking after the things of the world, they're wanting those things. And you've took the house of God, as Jesus said, as to this being here. And inwardly you've made it a place of money changers as to your human desire and gullible desire for the frivolous, beggarly elements of the world as to which you are in bondage, as to the bondage child. As the old child of bondage, you're fastened to it through your human senses and you can't get away from it because if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father's not there. But you that have overcome that, Satan has been cast out of the heart, and the kingdom of God has been set up within it. And the Spirit of Christ, even the kingdom of God and the treasures of heaven, as of this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, is within your innermost being. And you are an epistle that's known and read of all men. You are the body of Jesus. And someday your fame and your prestige and your glory and your wealth will appear as Jesus that outshined the brightness of the noonday, as to the sun shining within his strength, and as glistened so beautifully on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Bible said his garments was made whiter than any full of soap on earth could white them. All right, let's sing this love chorus. Come in to my heart. We're glad to have Bob's mother here again with us today. It would be wonderful if all the people around the world could move to little Bethlehem and be part of our operation, but that's not to be, because everybody has a job and everywhere they must do the job to win souls. And as going to a college and then going back out as to your proper place, as to do your work and thing in life, and that we're our brother's keeper and every man is given something as to contribute to humanity, then we have to do that. But we are one unit. The saying, united we stand, divided we fall. We all see eye to eye. We're all brothers and sisters. A brother may go off to a far land. A sister may go off to a far land. They may do whatever they have to do. They may have great families and great wealth, but they're all brothers and sisters. They're blood of blood and bone of bone. And wherever we're at is to around the world, and that the messages go around the world, then we're brothers and sisters. We're one. Even as Bethlehem, I say this so often, Paul said, your faith been spoken of throughout the world. So we're all one body. And Jesus said, I've got sheep that are not of this fold, them I will bring. And then all, as to the chief shepherd, shall be one flock and one fold. And we're knitted together with the bond of charity as to love one another. Not untempered man-made mortar of theology and ideas as to what you think and I think and old wives' fables. Jesus said, as to that, not one stone shall be left upon another, but all of that shall be cast down. But when they tried to divide his robe, there was no seams in it. The covering of God is complete. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. Let's sing this little chorus real time. And time for you, it's no more, no more. And time for the church, 'tis no more. For Jesus, he stands on the sea and the land. And your time creatures no more. So time to be born and time to die. No more, no more. The Bible said in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. And now comes your day, and now comes your Calvary, and now comes time no more for you died at Calvary, the time to be born, the time to die, and so it was with you. And them that was appointed unto death, God looked down and heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death, and suffered them in a day accepted as to that wonderful day of salvation. And today, you have salvation, which means deliverance. From death, for the Bible said the anointing breaks the yoke. It dispels the gloom of night. It brings to you eternal life. And you have this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels. And folks, submit to it, conform to it, walk after it. Because everybody don't have this within them. And this wonderful treasure of the Spirit of Christ, it will be made manifest in your mortal genes to beautify the meek with salvation, to bring immortality into your very genes as to your human chemistry. All of the world and their brilliance of scientific research, they can't find this because God has hid it from them, even from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. And he told us to pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation, that these things might be revealed to us, even Christ within you, that hope of glory, all the glory that was seen on the mountain in the transfiguration, or that will transfigurate you. While you've got your hands up, you got your eyes closed, your heads bowed or lifted up to heaven to God. While we're standing here, I'm going to ask Brother Richard from California if he'll come up and dismiss us. And as Richard comes to pray with us, we're certainly glad to have Richard. His wife will be down in about a month. And I really believe that Richard has got us a real sincerity. I believe he's a sincere person that loves the Lord with a sincere spirit. And I believe he's interested in his soul, his little wife's soul, and his friends and neighbors and people's soul around the world from just talking with him. And as he comes to pray, let's reverence the Lord. Don't forget the services tonight. We're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus to the full measure of that full stature of eternal strength, eternal riches, eternal power, eternal youth, and the magnificence of that glorious God.